Yeah, I see you. Can you see me?
Make it hot, Mr. Dowling.
Let's go.
A strong work ethic takes pride in a job well done, sweats over the details.
Come and talk to me, I really want to meet you, girl, I really want to know your name. so very long, trying to get my nerve built up to be so strong. I really want to meet you, but I'm kind of scared, 'cause you're the kind of lady with so much class. I get my thoughts together for the very next day, but when I see you, lady, I forget.
WSJU Radio, DJ Mad Max on air here. We have a very, very special guest calling in on the phone lines at WSJU Radio, one of the greatest R&B groups of all time, and vocalist, producer, Mr. Dalvin. Mr. Dalvin, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, what's good, man?
No, I appreciate you calling in tonight. Huge fan of Jodeci.
Appreciate it.
Love all your records and albums, Forever My Lady, Diary of a Mad Band, the show, The After Party, and that album's a classic to me, and I'm just an honor to have you on tonight.
Appreciate it, man. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. So I just want to get into a few things. What music did you grow up listening to and were inspired to make you want to do music?
I grew up in a gospel home. Like, you know, my parents were both pastors. So, you know, we listened to a lot of Winans, Commission, the Hawkins Family, records that people probably know. We were really young, and so, you know, growing up, we just, you know, incorporated that with you know, listening to Prince and Michael Jackson, the Temptations, the Commodores, you know, and a lot of rock music too as well. So, like, you know, Chicago, you know, the list goes on. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, because a lot of people usually, like, growing up, they listen to just the R&B soul. Growing up, the fact that you're diverse with Chicago, that's not something I would have expected you told me that you listen to, so that's impressive.
Yeah. So we go a lot deeper in Chicago. You know, we go way back. Man.
Yeah.
You probably even heard of, but, you know, it was a mix of everything. You know, it was like a melting pot of just good music, period. We wasn't just stuck to, like, just the R&B. Like, even my parents, my dad, you know, he was on a white TV show, so, you know, we heard all that type of music, too. So we just, everything was everything.
That's interesting. I did not know that. And now we all know that your brother is Devontae. Now, when did you two start writing music and wanting to do your music careers?
Like I said, my dad, I started out playing drums for my dad. I was 6 years old. My dad was he was on a TV show called the 700 Club. So, you know, Devontae played every instrument except the drums. And so, you know, we would just make up songs for my dad, and, you know, my dad would write, and we would just start writing, you know, gospel songs for my dad, coming up with melodies and everything. So it really started at a young age. You know, you know, back then, yeah, you know, yeah, Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker, who way back in the 70s. So we played drums for her. I mean, we played, you know, it was her daughter's band, their daughter's band. And, you know, we've just been writing music for everybody ever since then, you know.
Now, when did you figure out that you wanted to take this seriously? Was there a song that was like, wow, we should really take this seriously, and people reacted to you, like a performance? What was it that made you decide to get
into
music?
It was always serious. You know, even back then, it was always serious. Like, music is something that, you know, is the priority in my household. So it was always taken serious. You know, as growing up, you know, we didn't know we could do it, like, you know, on a level that we did it on, but it was always taken serious, even in gospel music, you know what I'm saying?
Now, you two formed, and you're from Virginia, but you moved to North Carolina. Is that correct?
Yeah, North Carolina at a really young age. We were born in Virginia. Me and Devontae both were born in Hampton, Virginia. Then moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, where we were raised at.
And at what age did you guys come to New York and meet Casey and JoJo?
Well, we actually met Casey and JoJo in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
We're all from North Carolina. You know, we all met, I think I was 12 when I met Casey and JoJo, 12 or 13. You know, they Devontae and JoJo formed the group, and later me and Casey joined the group. But, you know, we all went to New York. I think I was just turning 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was it like meeting them for the first time?
It was bizarre. It was really, really bizarre. And, you know, the story's been told a billion times. Now it's going to be put into a film, so... You know, if you don't know the story, you have to wait.
Yeah. I just wanted to let the audience know. I've heard the backstory before on interviews.
It's really interesting, man. But, you know, the short of the story is it was a gospel girl group named Unity back in the day. Where they lived in Charlotte. And, you know, Devontae's dating one of the girls in the group, and Casey was also. And they kind of, it was like, you know, you guys are two talented set of brothers, and y'all should meet. Because we, you know, we always heard about Casey and JoJo, and they always heard about us. The Haley brothers and the Great brothers, and we never got a chance to really meet, but they brought us together, and, you know, long story short, it's history after that, you know?
Yeah. Now, when did you guys finally decide, like, we should collaborate and form a group known as the Legendary Jodeci?
Well, actually, the first night that we met, Devontae and JoJo came together and said we should form a group. Me and Casey, we didn't get along. Ultimately, we became best friends in the group, but we didn't get along, so we didn't want no parts of it. So, you know, it wasn't really a name to the group. It was just Devontae and JoJo writing songs. You know, Devontae writing songs and JoJo was singing some melodies for them. And, you know, they started recording every day, and, you know, then eventually we all started hanging together every day and blah, 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 you know, and started making music together.
Now, the title Jodeci, now, is that how they say, like, I've heard stories that you all took your name and just put it in the one name. How did that go when creating the name?
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, once again, it was Devontae's vision, like, you know, we're going to be called Jodeci, because, you know, it was JoJo, Devontae, and KC. And I wasn't even a part of the group, you know, until we was on the way to New York. I was like, that name is dope. I just want Mr. Dalvin, because Mr. Dalvin was my name when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was calling me Mr. Dalvin because they said I was actually really grown and beyond my years. And so they called me Mr. Dalvin. I was like, I just want to keep that name. So, you know, I was like, you know, I'd be in a group. So it was Jodeci.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Now, you're also a producer vocalist for Jodeci. Now, what was it like being a producer / vocalist for the group? What's it like?
You know, well, it's cool because everybody brings something different to the table as far as Jodeci. Everybody has, you know, what people really don't know, it's like, you know, we all have to put in our input to make Jodeci. It's not one particular person's role is more important than the next. We all put in and we create the magic that, you know, that comes out. And, you know, people say, I want to create the Jodeci sound, but you can't create the Jodeci sound without Jodeci. And, you know, people come close and they try to duplicate what we've done. But, you know, we have a special way that we record. Every time we go in the studio, a certain formula that we use, and it works for us. So it's like, you know, there's no particular way that we do it. It's just a formula. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like cooking your favorite meal. You don't do it the same every time, but it always comes out good. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
It's very rare to see a vocalist / producer in this case, and you're very gifted. I want to congratulate you on that.
Thanks,
for
that,
giving us great music for years and classic albums that will always be remembered. And Now, what do you prefer? Do you prefer being a vocalist or do you prefer being a producer? What do you like better?
I like performing.
You like performing?
I like performing. But, you know, I mean, like, to me, I think, like producing and recording is a major part of it. But, you know, it's like after you do that, it's like you get to show the product off. And, like, being on stage, you're showing off what you did, you know, after you slaved in the studio for 14 hours a day and, you know, then you get to show it off. It's like, you know, going in there, creating a masterpiece and letting the world see it after, you know, they don't get to see the blood, sweat, and tears that go into actually making the product.
Mm-hmm.
They get to see the finished product. And that's just what performing is, when you can bring the songs to life. You know, they sound good on the radio and on the record, but when you get on stage, you bring them to life, and it adds a whole different dimension of what that song means,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Now, when was your first guy's performance? Do you remember where was your first big performance or your first performance in general? What was it like?
As Jodeci, it was a place called Jack the Rapper, where it was like a music convention in Atlanta that all new artists used to go to, and they kind of like the battle of the bands or the battle of the new artists. And I remember they put us on at like maybe like 2 o'clock in the morning when everybody in the convention was like tired. It's like, we got in this, you know, I remember BBD had performed in one room, and you know, he had a lot of new groups that were coming out. You know, BBD had been out. There was, like, the headliners of one room, because we were all on the same label, you know, MCA, / Uptown MCA. You know, they were MCA. So they were MCA's highlight of the night. And Jodeci was, like, the last, you know, when everybody's been drinking champagne and upsetting everybody, we're going to throw Jodeci on. And we came on with the yellow rain jackets on, and we were just at the combat booth, and nobody knew what the hell was going on. and after that, we were the most talked about thing in the convention. Everybody was wondering, who is this Jodeci? Who is this Jodeci? And they would pronounce my name, Jodeci, Jodeci. So it was, you know, and after that, you know, it's history. History was made.
Definitely. One of the iconic groups. You can tell blood, sweat, and tears are in every performance, every song, every album. And now, your first album with the group Forever My Lady, now, how was that in the process of creating? What went into that?
One more time?
The first album, Forever My Lady, what was it like creating that album and putting it together?
Well, actually, you know, Forever My Lady, most of the songs were written already. You know, we had wrote them songs, and Devontae actually, let me take that back. Devontae wrote most of the majority of that album, you know, at a young age. I mean, he had wrote them songs a long time ago, and, you know, when we got to New York, they didn't understand the type of R&B that we were bringing to the table, because it was something new. Although it was old to us, it was new to everybody else. It was, you know, the big harmonies, and we were so young, and we sounded so, you know, so mature, and, you know, and they didn't get it. So, you know, the songs were written, and we got in the studio. It was different being in the major studio by ourselves, because we were like the first and probably the only self-contained group. Like, we produce, we write, we play all our own instruments. We arrange all our own vocals, arrange all our own harmony. So they never saw a self-contained group, I guess, at such a young age. So they stuck it in the studio without any guidance, really, just an engineer. And, you know, the record label would come by. They didn't understand how we were recording and how we were, you know, coming out with these products. So they, you know, they didn't understand it. So it was kind of like a tug-of-war between us and the label in the beginning. And then they just like, you know, we're going to just let y'all do what we do. If we put it out of its own head, then that's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of stepped away and let us do our own thing, man, to be honest with you.
Now, how old were you guys when you were signed to the label?
Oh, man, I wouldn't even want to sign my contract. I forged my mother's name on it. She wasn't even signed it. I think I was, what, 15, about the time 16, when we first got to New York. Yeah.
Wow.
So she wasn't young signing, so.
You guys were living the dream at a young age. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, a lot of people think it was just handed to us, but it was a lot of work. Like, you know, we got to New York, we set for a long time. You know, we set in the projects. You know, you coming from, you know, middle class North Carolina, where, you know, living was decent, moved to the ghetto of New York. It was kind of like a culture shock, but it taught us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we bonded as a group, even closer as friends. So it was a good learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, Forever My Lady, if people don't know, I'm sure they know some of the hit songs off there. Stay, Come and Talk to Me, Forever My Lady. Now, what made you decide to name this album Forever My Lady?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before.
Wow.
To be honest with you, I can't even remember, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we ended up with that name. Because I knew that wasn't the initial name of the album that we had. And I don't know why. I have to do the research. That's a very good question.
It's interesting. Yeah, I just wanted to know why it was named that, because that's also one of the hit songs off of the album.
And to be honest, that wasn't even the name of that song first. It wasn't called Brother My Lady. That wasn't the name of the song. The name of the song was Jodeci.
Oh.
Because it was an anthem for Jodeci, and it turned into Brother My Lady. So I don't think that's why we named it that, but that it turned into that. But it was called Jodeci, that song was actually.
That's very interesting.
And it was called When You Think of Love by Jodeci. So it was like almost like an interlude that we turned into that song.
I never knew that. That's something new I learned here from the interview.
See, there you go. You asked me something, and I got to learn something new. I taught you something.
Yeah. I'm learning them more. I'm just putting it in my a mental note in my mind to that Forever My Lady was originally the Jodeci song.
Interlude.
Wow. Interlude. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what was your favorite song off of this album?
Off of Forever My Lady?
Yeah.
Come and talk to me.
I believe that turned. It was the anniversary on March 10th, I believe, yesterday.
I think I saw something like that.
Yeah, I saw something on Twitter about that, and I was like, "Well, how ironic! I'm interviewing you, and I opened up the show with that."
Right.
Definitely a classic.
Great song.
Definitely. And then you went. There's a remix too, as well, in which you were hooked up with Puff Daddy and Bad Boy. Is that right?
The hip hop remix. Diddy did that with, you know, one of his producers from Bad Boy at the time, and, you know, really put the song out. But the beginning of hip hop remixes, you know, we called them remix because we made the whole song. So it was, you know, the first hip hop remix with we had Fat Doug rapping on the song. He was the artist on Uptown at the time. So yeah, they kind of like merged the two, the actual hip hop and R&B. You know, that's where the term was coined from.
Now, what was it like working with Puff Daddy?
He's a great visionary. I mean, you know, people try to say, well, Puff don't play instruments, he don't do this, but Puff is talented. Like, to me, you know, he's like the Quincy Jones of hip-hop. Like, you know, he don't really have to be, because people think when they think producer, you have to play instruments, but a producer is also somebody that coordinates the production of any project, and that's what Puff was. You know, he knew how, what pieces to put together to make things work. You know, he knew how to motivate us to be what we could, you know, the best that we could be at times when we were, you know, ready to be like, ah, man, it's too much. But, you know, he knew how to bring that together, to tie the right people together. You know, if you look at his track record, including Mary Lee Blige, Faith Evans, Biggie, he knew how to see talent. You know, to me, that's a talent in itself. You know, for all these other artists and even Bad Boy label. So he was a great visionary, and I give him that. You know, hands down, he's one of the greatest.
I agree. Everyone, any artist who I have interviewed that has done a song with Puff Daddy have told me he's a great visionary. So it's definitely a trend here.
Absolutely.
I feel like Diddy needs to get more respect because everyone's looking up to, like, the producers are in the game now. But you got to always remember and thank Diddy for what he did for hip-hop and R&B.
Absolutely.
Diddy is one of the all-time greats. Now, getting back to your albums, we move on to your second album, Diary of a Mad Band, which is also a great classic album by Jodeci. Now, what was it like putting this album together as your second album?
Well, you know, like what I'm going to tell you is, like, every album was, it wasn't just a bunch of songs put together. We strategically sat down and mapped the albums out. Like, we recorded songs that you'll probably never hear for each of the album, like, extra material that didn't make the album that we thought were good. But, you know, putting every album down, they were always concepts to the album. There were always songs, there were always sounds that we would use on certain albums and certain songs that made the album, you know, flow as an album, not just a bunch of songs on one record. You know, everything just kind of coordinated. Even the lineup of the songs, we strategically put them like that. You know, Diary of a Mad Band, you know, it was kind of like a more of a West Coast vibe. You know, from the synthesizers that we use and the sounds that Devontae thought of, even when he told me, like, okay, D, you bring this to the album, you bring this type of sound, and I'll bring this. And, you know, the way we wrote songs, it was cool the way we did it. We didn't want to be as soft as Forever My Lady, just pushing the envelope a little bit more, you know, on the Diary of Mad Band. So we just pushed the envelope a little more. And, you know, the next album, we just pushed it all the way.
And for Diary of Mad Band, letting the people know the hits off this, Cry For You, Feenin, a great song. And I also love You Got It. I think that's my personal favorite off this album. And I love Redman on this.
Right.
What was it like working with Redman?
Redman was good. I mean, you know, he was good. He was good. He came in and he's like, you know, well, he wanted, he brought a breakbeat that we got in the song that he brought like a little sample and he wanted to rap over top of the breakbeat. And we put it in the song when he came on. I forgot what break it was, but he brought himself. And he was really fun, a lot of fun. A lot of fun in the studio.
Definitely, he definitely has the energy in his songs.
Yeah, definitely.
You can notice that. I also want to mention that you've won many Billboard awards as well as Soul Train Music Awards as well. 4 Billboards, 2 Soul Trains, and I want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
And I want to tell you the Grammys don't matter because people always tell me in the hip hop community, R&B community, Grammy doesn't matter because we all know. It just never matters to me. Like, I don't even watch it.
Right. I mean, but, you know, at the same time, you get disappointed because, as an artist, you want the politics sometimes just be out the music and let the music speak for itself. You mm-hmm. know, be rewarded for what you've done and what you've accomplished. Not because some people that don't know anything about musicians or artists or music can sit there and vote and try to judge how good the music is. I mean, it doesn't matter, but it bothers you that it's a political thing when it shouldn't be. It should be what you've done and how good the music is.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be fair, but it's not fair. So you choose to accept it. I mean, it doesn't define who the artist is. It doesn't define the thing, the body of work that we've created. So it's not really a big deal. But it does bother you. That's like a great actor or actress not being nominated for an Oscar. Does it really make or break his career? No. Sometimes it hurts his career. Sometimes once you get an Oscar, it's like the curse. You've reached the pinnacle and you don't never get nominated again. So it really doesn't matter. But it does trouble you sometimes that you're not recognized mm-hmm. for the things you've accomplished by people that sometimes, quote unquote, are the people that really say this is what matters if you get a Grammy, which we know it doesn't really matter. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, you know, like we've done, and we've did, you know, a lot of things in and for music, and that's what it is, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
recognize it or you don't.
Now, what was your favorite song off of your second studio album, Diary of a Madman?
I got two, and I'm kind of biased for one, but one is Cross You. I have no idea because I'm not really a mushy person, but I really like that song. And the other one is Won't Waste You, the one I did, and I introduced Missy Elliott.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and you also founded Missy Elliott. How did you find her?
Long story short, our first world tour, which was Jodeci, Boyz II Men, and MC Hammer. My first stop was in Hampton, Virginia, our actual hometown that we grew up in. And they're from Virginia Beach, or Virginia, somewhere around there. And at the end of the night of the show, you know, she snuck on our hotel floor. Missy did with her group. She was with a group called, I forgot the name at the time, but they changed it to Sister later in the years. But she snuck on our hotel floor. She said, hey, Mr. Dalvin, can you listen to my group? And I looked, and they didn't really look the part of a group.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, absolutely. You know, they went through all the trouble finding themselves on our floor, which was heavily guarded and secure. But I was like, absolutely. So when Missy started singing and rapping, and she was like pop blocking and everything, I was like, I didn't know what it was, but I knew she had something special. I said, nah, this chick is special. She didn't look like a typical rapper or a singer or nothing, but she had something special. So I went down the hallway and I got the box. I said, man, come check these girls out. And he came and checked them out. And, you know, from then on, it was with it.
Mm-hmm. Many classics. Many classics from her.
Timberland. She brought Timberland along, you know, became a big family, turned to the basement ultimately after that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you mentioned Cry For You before. I think Drake mentioned Jodeci Cry For You in one of his songs. I forget what song it was on, but I believe it was on his Views album.
Yeah, he mentioned Jodeci a lot. I mean, you know, I heard he was a fan of Jodeci. I've heard, like, he redid My Heart Belongs To You. I heard the sample he did. My Heart Belongs To You. Then he got the song with J. Cole, Jodeci's Back, Screaming Like Jodeci's Back, the freestyle.
That's right.
I mean, you know, he's a big fan. I mean, I'm a big fan of Drake, too. So, you know, it's cool to be recognized. And even listen to, like, Cardi B mention Jodeci in a verse.
That's right. That's recently.
Right. The one with Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Song. You know, I mean, it's cool to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that, you know, real artists and real musicians will take time and do the history of what people talk about and where the sounds they're getting, where the sound originates from, or blah, blah, blah. And it's cool to, you know, hear those type of things. It's really cool.
That's what I respect about certain artists. And then there's things I don't respect about certain artists because I feel like they don't go back and do that research and acknowledge the greats that paved the way for them. And in this case, Cardi B and Drake are acknowledging that you guys paved the way for the newer artists, such as themselves, which I really respect.
Right. So, it's like, like I said, people like, when is real music coming back? When is this, man, this, never, blah, blah, blah. So to me, like, if that's music to the generation that's now, then I can't knock the way they feel about the artists that they have. But me, being an artist, coming up, I went back and looked at and read the blueprints and looked at the blueprints of the artists that came before me that paved the way, that, that wrote songs and took time and structured, the way they, produced and wrote and blah, blah, blah. And that's what we did. And I think that artists like that would be around for a long time,
I agree. Now, your next album, third studio album, The Show, The After Party, The Hotel, also a classic, which everyone's favorite, I believe, is Freaking You.
Right.
This one definitely embodies the baby-making music of R&B.
Right.
I'm putting the mark on that. This is definitely a classic album, and it definitely, every Jodeci album to me has a different style on it. Like the first one had like a new jack swing vibe to it, and then the second album was like you said, more like West Coasty, and then this one's more like smooth R&B. Like there's something about this. Like these three albums to me are just three of the greatest albums I've ever listened to.
Well, the Show, The After Party, Hotel, I mean, it was exactly what it was. It was a lot of shows, a lot of parties, and a lot of hotels, So, I mean, it's exactly what it was. We were going and we was riding the high of just being able to see how much people appreciated the music and just having fun making. It wasn't stressful. It was just a carefree time, and we just had fun just coming up with different concepts and different ideas and actually being able to have a lot of freedom to make the record that we really wanted to make and, not care what people thought. And I know we'd have a good time doing it. So it made it really, really cool to do that record. And it came at a time, which is funny, when hip-hop was really the predominant force on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You had Biggie coming through with you had the whole Bad Boy camp coming through. So R&B was kind of like taking a back seat. And I remember we released Freaking You. And, people didn't really understand it at first. And it wasn't that they didn't like it. They didn't really understand it because it was such a flip to what Jodeci was known for. And I called Devontae. I said, I got an idea, to kind of marry these two worlds together where we kind of like in between the people. You got rappers that respect Jodeci. You got R&B lovers that respect Jodeci. How do we bring the two worlds together because it's so diverse in our fan base? And I went and I did the Freaking remix
with Raekwon. That's right.
Right. So originally, Method Man was supposed to be on that remix, but he was in Japan. And I spoke to RZA. I said, I want to get Method Man on this remix. I got an idea for this single we just released called Freaking You.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I got two new guys at the time, Raekwon and Ghostface wasn't out. He said, because Method Man was in Japan. So they came to the studio, and we knocked it out. And that it brought the light back to the original version, and it skyrocketed after that. So.
Now, what was it like working with Raekwon and Ghostface Kid? Because those were my two idols of mine for hip hop.
It was such a bizarre experience, man. Like they came to the studio, it was 40 deep. They had machetes and ski masks. It was and I didn't know who was who. I didn't know which one was on Ghostface. I didn't know who it was. The whole Wu Tang family. But it was cool because I went on to work with Raekwon after that on his solo stuff, and I did some stuff with Ghostface and. It's cool. We, established a really good friendship even to this day. Raekwon, if we're in the same town, he'll call me on stage or Jodeci doing a show, he's around. We do the remix, he'll come on stage. So, we develop a really good friendship over the years. It's maintained that.
Yeah, the Freaking You remix is definitely an underrated classic. And I think Raekwon even says in the song, Wu-Tang and Jodeci's like cousins.
Cousins, yeah. That's one of the lines in the, one of the verses that's one of the lines.
Yeah, that's a classic song, as well as the original Freaking You. I like Let's Do It All. That's also a great song off The Show, The After Party, The Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Can We Flow is a great one, Pump It Back. What are your personal favorites off this album?
once again, I got to be biased. I mean, Get On Up is my favorite.
Get On Up, yeah, that's another one.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I actually, the song, it was meant for something else, and I was like, you know, this could be a good way to break the song, to break the album up. And, you know, it was more happy than the rest of the songs. The other songs were kind of dark and, like you said, sexual, which we, you know, shot for. But Get On Up was more like a ray of light for a second. Like, you know, waking up after a heavy night of partying, open the blinds, see a hotel and the sun come in. You know, you're getting up, and that's just what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of them type of records, so.
Now, there was also a time period where you worked with Tupac, Def Row, and Suge Knight. Now, what year did this come into the picture? Because I know you had something to do with How Do You Want It.
Right. The year exactly, I can't be certain. I don't want to misquote it, but it was 94, 95, 96, mm-hmm. 97, I don't know. In the 90s, I don't know when it was.
Mm-hmm.
The whole
off of All Eyes on Me. Now, what was it like being in the studio with Tupac?
Unpredictable is the word I can just describe it. Unpredictable. Great, but unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just never knew what was going to share. It was a good experience.
Now, how did you lay the vocals in? Now, were you part of the production for this track as well?
Johnny Day, a guy named Johnny Day, you know, he did the actual track, the beginning track.
Mm-hmm.
And Pac brought it to me. I was standing in West Hollywood. He bought me a cassette tape. And he said, hey, man, I got this record, this idea. I want, you know, to put Jodeci on the record. And he bought the record to my hotel room. And he was, you know, he played a cassette. And I was like, yeah, that sounded dope. He was singing the hook, actually. It was a different verses. And he was singing the hook. The hook was the same. But he's like, nah, you know, I don't like my voice on it, which is what he said. And I said, man, you sound dope on it, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I called Casey and Dodo. I was like, man, you know, Pac wanted to do a record with him. So we all went to Can-Am Studios, and, you know, they didn't really have to make the record mix. So I started mixing with the engineer, you know, put some a couple little breaks. But I mixed the vocals and stuff for him, and we laid the vocals, and that was that. And he went back after that and changed his verse.
Wow. You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he changed his verse to the song, so that's how that came out.
Now, for people who don't know, Tupac was actually doing, like, the ad-libs in the back. Was it in the background of that he was doing the How Do You Want? Is that what it was?
Well, no. On the hook, that's him singing the low note. He wanted me to take his voice out, but I kept it because it had that really eerie, you know, that Tupac low baritone voice, and it sounded good.
Mm-hmm.
So I blended it in with the harmony, and I kept his voice on the record, you know?
Oh, okay.
You're like, man, take my voice out. I'm like, nah, your voice sounded really good on it because it added that element of what Tupac was in the record, but I kept it.
Mm-hmm. Just think, Jodeci has had many gems in the industry, including one off of Tupac's All Eyes on Me, as well as their own albums as well. Now, who hooked you up with Tupac? Was it Suge Knight that was the one that reached out to you?
Well, I knew Tupac from New York. You know,
okay.
He never had a work relationship, but I knew him from New York. Like, I knew Pac from, you know, when he was on the East Coast before, you know, a lot of the things happened. And we got reconnected. You know, Suge reconnected us once he got to Death Row, because me and Devontae was doing a lot of work for Death Row and, you know, writing and stuff, producing with Death Row. And when Pac came, you know, he wanted to connect the dot, you know. So it wasn't like, you know, we just met Pac for the first time. Like, I knew him back on the East Coast.
Yeah, he was originally from the East Coast, which a lot of people may not realize because he took over the West Coast title
right.
And embodied the West Coast culture, even though he was
right.
from here, from the East mm-hmm. Coast. Now, there was rumors, too, I read online that Suge Knight wanted to sign Jodeci and Mary J. Blige. Is that a true statement?
Well, Suge felt like at the time we were being unfairly treated in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and him coming saying, I'm going to take you guys from, you know, Uptown or MCA or whatever. He never said that. He just said, you know, you guys always know it's somewhere for you guys to come if you feel like, you know, you want to be treated fair. Because I feel like you guys are being, you know, unfairly treated. And that was just his stance on a lot of artists, because Shit was really passionate about his artists. You know, no matter what, you know, people say about Shit,
mm-hmm.
he's really passionate about, you know, artists and being treated the way he thought they should be treated. They were being treated unfairly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my experience. Now, I don't know everybody else's experience with Suge, but that was mine. You know, we bumped heads a couple of times, but overall, you know, he was brilliant in his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Now, working with Shug Knight and Puff Daddy, what are the differences between Shug and Puff Daddy, like, in their vision for music? What was their visions?
I think Puff is more involved in the creativity. Mm-hmm. Shug is more involved in the business. I'm not saying Puff is not a businessman, but he gets his hands mixed up in the creative process as well. Mm. You know, Shug Knight will come in the studio and tell you to record vocals or try this again or do this again. He's going to expect you to go in there and come out with something dope. If he thinks you're a brilliant artist, then you should go in there and be able to come out with something brilliant. And, you know, Puff likes to get in and mix it up and give you, you know, try this right here, try it like this, sing it like this, rap it like this. You know, that's the difference. He's more of a creative visionary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Chip was more like, you know, I'm going to be in my office. When y'all finish, bring me the record. You know, bring me the song. Let me hear it. You know, so that's more like Chip's stance.
Now, after this point, after the show, the after party, the hotel, you guys broke up. Was that how it went? And then they did Casey and JoJo form their own duo.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the misconception. Jodeci never broke up.
Oh, why?
Jodeci never broke up. We just, you know, stopped putting out records. We still record records and we in each other's presence. We're going to the studio and just drop something and, you know, just to be in the studio. But we just, everybody had different ideas. You know, everybody had different ideas at the time. And it just, it happens like that in every group. You know, you're always going to have your own ideas, and you're going to always want to pursue what your ideas are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, it's, you know, it's individually, and it don't work collectively, so you go do what you got to do. It doesn't mean that you break up and, you know, you hate each other, or you just go do what you feel like, you know, you want to do in your life. Sometimes when you achieve a certain level of success, you feel like, okay, let me try something. Let me try this. Let me try that. Let me try this. And, you know, most people think, oh, they don't like each other. They hate each other, or they broke up, or blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you're a family. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have fights. You're going to have disputes. You know, sometimes they get displayed in the public. Sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So people are left to their own assumptions because they don't see you together. They don't see you performing together. They see one guy don't show up. They see two guys on stage. They see one guy doing Jodeci records by himself. You know, that happens, man. It's just, it's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't mean we hate each other. We speak, you know, when it's necessary. And, you know, there's never like, I never want to see you again. It's none of them type of vibes like that.
Now, moving on to your solo career, you released your first solo album, April 7, 2000, Metamorphic. And what was the production behind this in which you chose the title Metamorphic?
Well, Metamorphic was, it's kind of like a word I made up. You know, if you know the word, it's really metamorphic. But, it, you know, I like to make it words in time. So, Metamorphic was what it was. But, you know, I'm good friends with Madonna at the time. And, you know, she had the label. And I was like, you know, hey, man, it'd be cool to put a record out, you know, because I knew it was going to be kind of different from the typical R&B. And most times people, when you go solo, people want to be like, oh, I want it to sound like Jodeci. Don't sound like Jodeci. Well, I'm not Jodeci, so my album's not going to sound like Jodeci. You might have elements of Jodeci, but it's not going to be a Jodeci record. So I wanted to go somewhere where it's going to be totally understanding that I'm not trying to make a Jodeci record because I'm not Jodeci. I am one-fourth of this group. You know, that's the same thing with Casey and JoJo. You know, if you listen to Casey and JoJo's record, they don't sound like Jodeci.
No, they don't. It's different.
You know, it's different. You know, I'm sure if Devontae made a Jodeci record, even though he wrote, you know, 80% of the records and produced them, they won't sound like a Jodeci record. You know, Jodeci is all four of us put together, so that's when you get Jodeci. But individually, whether it be a duo or, you know, me and Devontae individually, you're not going to get Jodeci. You're going to get Element, maybe, but not Jodeci. So, you know, Metamorphic, I reached out to Tim and Bob, who, you know, I like their production, and Stevie J, who was a good friend of mine, and I said, I'm gonna make a solo record. Let's go in the studio, have some fun, and make a record. And, you know, and that's just what it was. And though Maverick did not really have the means to put, you know, they didn't know how to really market R&B or market me as a solo artist, and we kind of, you know, struggled with that, and they left it in somebody's hands that really didn't do what they promised to do, and it kind of just went, you know, what it was. But it was a great experience for me.
This is definitely a great solo album. Personal favorite of this one, Long Day, More Than Friends, I Can't Help It, and I Got That. There's definitely many styles and flows on this album. What are your personal favorites off this?
I Got That was my favorite song off that record.
I Got That. That's the first track off of the album. You started off with a bang, basically.
Right, that was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the thing is, now that I'm moving forward, I've grown a lot as far as, like, taking my time and you know, developing my style as far as the way I want to go. Because that album was, it was overall my decision of what songs were used and what songs were chosen, but it wasn't really my vision of what I wanted to do as a solo album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not taking away, because I love that album. I love it, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't really 100% my creative direction. I kind of just followed, you know, when people brought me, hey, Tim and Bobby, give me this. And I love the records, and I love what Stevie J did, and I love what I did, but it wasn't overall what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know that happened, you know.
Now, did you produce all the tracks on this album?
No, Like I said, Tim and Bob did Long Day, I Can't Help It.
Okay.
Stevie J did More Than Friends, and Tim and Bob did Not My Girl. I think the rest of them I did on that album.
Yeah, definitely a great album. And when you go back to it and listen to it, along with the other Jodeci albums, it's timeless. And every album, like I said, has a different vibe to it, in which people should definitely go take advantage of and listen to if they haven't already. And for music, recently, in 2017, you came out with Vindication, Get Money. Right. And now, this was your first single that you released since 2000?
That's it. Yeah, the very first single.
That's it. I recommend people to go check that out. That's on iTunes and all music platforms right now. Now, right. Is there any new music that you may be coming out with soon, or Jodeci may be working?
Absolutely. I'm being kind of tight-lipped about it, but yeah, absolutely.
Great.
You know, people ask me all the time, when are y'all going to release some new music? When are you going to release new music? You know, but now, the thing is, and I try to tell artists all the time, you can just put music out there, but there's no point in putting music out there if it's not going to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So the most important thing for me right now is I want my music heard. I mean, I can put music out all day on iTunes. I got enough songs to put out probably for the next 2 or 3 years. But it means nothing to me if it's not going to be heard. And it's important to me if I have the right platform where my music is going to be heard. Because you work very hard in the studio, and you want it to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just make music for myself. I make it for the masses, people to hear. So if it's not going to be heard, it's not going to be, you know, promoted or put out there, right? There's no need for me putting it out. You could be putting it out there, singing like I said, I got a song out. That's, you know, that's not my thing.
Yeah. Just know that I'll listen.
I appreciate it, man.
I'll listen.
Okay, appreciate it.
Yeah, we need good music out in the airways again. It would be refreshing to hear a new Jodeci record or a new solo album from you, because I think we definitely need more older artists to release more music so people remember, and if people see it come across on music platforms, who's this? And if they don't know about it, they can go research the older work that they've done.
Right. You know, but I think that a lot of artists, like from, you know, my generation or generation before me, they don't see the avenue where they could put out new music. And they're great artists that I see, and I have this conversation with all the time. He's like, man, I'm just going to tour off my old music. I'm like, you know, you still have the ability to make great songs. Because I've sat in the studio, I heard great song after great song from artists. And it's like, you know, where do I find the lane, or where do I find the avenue to release this music to where it can be heard? So I won't be caught up in the trap music or too caught up in, you know, what's going on right now. I'm like, you know, man, music that you make is timeless, so it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to find its lane. And I think that a lot of good artists or great artists are scared to just put out music, and it becomes just music that we listen to around the house and just keep to ourselves, because you don't want to, I mean, a lot of artists don't want to seem like, okay, I failed because I didn't, you know, hit these numbers or do this, get this many spins or this many views. And it's not that. It's just a different game in the music now. It's a whole different game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's just, I think that's why you don't hear as many great artists as you might think. Why they don't make records no more? Why they don't put music out? Not that they're not recording. It's that it's frustrating when you put music out and you know it's good and it doesn't get heard. That's the most frustrating thing about making good music and good artists, why they keep music to themselves.
Mm-hmm. An example of a older artist from an old generation is Peebo Bryson. He released a great album recently, Stand for Love, and that was insane.
Right. Right. That's, you know, I was happy because I'm a big fan of the Gap Band, and Charlie Wilson, for him to come back like he did was amazing to me.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Charlie Wilson was one of my favorites. You know, for him to find a niche and jump back in, and you know, he's a lot older than us, and you know, the Gap Band was a huge influence on Guy, on Jodeci, on a lot of R&B singers, and the way they wrote and the subject matters they wrote about. You know, and for him to come back and be one of the biggest selling R&B touring artists and to have new music that's, you know, charting and on the radio, it's amazing to me.
Mm. Yeah, Charlie Wilson is definitely one of the greats and influenced a lot of R&B artists.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on your record label, who were the other artists that were on your record label? It was Guy, I believe, too, right?
Oh, you're talking about Uptown?
Yeah, Uptown.
Yeah, Heavy D.
Heavy D.
Guy. Jeff Red. But then you have, we know, that was a subsidiary of MCA, which had Bobby Brown, New Edition, BBD, Jody Wiley. I mean, the list goes on.
Oh, yeah. All the greats.
All the greats, yeah. That's the reason that we took a trip to New York to want to get on Uptown MCA, because all our favorite artists were, you know, recording artists on that label.
And everyone wants to congratulate. Well, me, I want to congratulate you for accomplishing that dream, because you created great music for us.
Appreciate it.
Now, I heard that there's a Jodeci biopic in the works. Is that still going on?
Oh man, the mystery goes on. Well, you know, there's, let's just put it like this. There's a few offers on the table. There's a script that's been written, and there's been talks, and there's been a lot of dialogue about this film.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we have to cut through, and I'm just trying to talk without really saying, because I'm not, you know, I can't really say, but I can tell you this. There will be a dose of money.
Great.
I promise you that.
That's great news.
Now the timeline was supposed to be 3 years ago, but I guarantee you, there will be a dose of money.
That's great news.
That's all I can really say about it.
Because I know there was the New Edition story and the Bobby Brown story. Mm-hmm. Now, will this be released on BET or VH1, or is this going to actually come out in theaters?
That I can't answer. I really don't know.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a few offers on the table, and there's, you know, a lot of interest, and there's some dialogue. But with network or station, I really can't really say.
I'm definitely looking forward to that, because I've been saying that we need a Jodeci biopic, and I looked it up, and I've heard that there've been talks about it, rumors. So the fact that there's definitely going to be one is definitely great news to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, people get impatient, you know, and they we want it yesterday, but you know, it's got to be done right. Everything's got to be right. So once it's 100% right, there will be a great Jodeci movie. There's a great story to be told, and a lot of facts that people are going to really probably be amazed and surprised about, you know, this group. So, I mean, it's going to be one. So it has to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be tough.
And Jodeci released, you guys got back together, did the album. Well, you were always together, you never broke up. But you came out and released the album, The Past, The Present, The Future, in 2015, I believe. Yes, it was in 2015. And this is definitely a great album. Now, what were you trying to send message-wise with this album?
Well, I would say that was a, I wouldn't really call it a Jodeci album. I would call it a concept of a Jodeci album.
Mm-hmm.
Jodeci to me is an album created by Jodeci, period.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of elements of Jodeci in the album, but it wasn't a Jodeci album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, therefore, I really don't consider a Jodeci album.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more like a, and I don't want to say this, but it's more like a mixtape. You know, not sounding too hard. It's more like a mixtape. You know, that has Jodeci on it. So,
you had the song "Nobody Wins" with B.O.B.
Right.
Now, what was it like working with B.O.B.?
Didn't see B.O.B. until we did the BET Awards that we were at.
Okay.
So one of those award shows, and we got to meet him. You know, he came in to do his verse, but we wasn't present when he did it. And you know, I think his verse is amazing on that song. Like I said, it's more like a mixtape. You know, that contained elements of Jodeci. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying it wasn't a great concept. It was a great concept for what it was trying to do, but as far as the Jodeci album, you know, if you don't have 100% of Jodeci, you don't really have a Jodeci album to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your views from hip-hop from your generation of now? What are the things that you like about this generation and some of the things that you may not like about this generation of R&B?
Well, I think R&B has taken on what R&B was to me, or is to me, is considered something different now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's different to me. To me, Drake is a rapper. He's not R&B. Although he sings, he's a rapper to me. So, I mean, it's hard to say what they consider R&B now. I don't really know. It's not the same as what we consider R&B years ago. You know, so even rap is not the same as we consider rap now. But, you know, it works for the listeners of today. That's what works for them. But what works for me is, I think, lyrical content, you know, mm-hmm. is more my thing. You know, I think generation today, they like more of a, you know, more of the beat and more catchy hooks and everything. But, you know, we listen to hip-hop. We listen to every line. We would quote lines. And it was, you know, metaphorically just, a genius. You know, now it's like, you know, okay, well, if they said this, that's cool, you know. But the beat is dope, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, I don't down it. Like, it is what it is. I mean, I find myself, you know, moving to a lot of the records. I can't tell you what artists are who, because a lot of them sound alike. But, you know, it's you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't tell who's who, but it is what it is.
Who are your personal favorites from the day? And even ones that you would consider working with, if possible?
I gotta say Drake, like, as far as, like,
okay.
My favorites, if we talk hip hop. I actually like the Migos too. I like the Migos.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I like the Migos. I guess Gucci Mane, he's cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's cool. Cardi B, definitely. I like Cardi B. I don't know, man, you know, there's a few more mm-hmm. I listen to.
Now, what's your take on hip-hop from your generation, the 90s? Which, to me, 90s R&B, 90s hip-hop was the most dominant. This era, like, R&B I can listen to today. Hip-hop, for me, it's so hard because, like, the whole mumble rap thing, it's so hard for me to listen to because I prefer the lyrical content.
Well, that's what I was just saying. Like, that's what I prefer. Mm-hmm. I don't knock them, and, you know, I don't think I could ever get into the whole mumble rap thing. Although, you know, I like Migos. I like, you know, because I find myself listening to, like, let me just, you know, see what the phenomenon is with the Migos. And they're actually lyricists, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they change the style because it throws me off with the whole auto-tune thing, because some of these guys are actually real lyricists. They say, like, you know, some of the metaphors are really good, and you get caught up in the auto-tunes and stuff, so sometimes it's hard to really understand what they're saying, so you just find yourself mumbling with them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really take time to dissect some of the lyrical content, it's really actually good. But so, like, to me, you know, hip-hop back then, it was no auto-tune. It was just straight raw to the record. And so it was easy to comprehend the lyrical content. You know, like, from a rock came on, Big Daddy Kane, LL Cool J, you know, KRS-One. It was easy to listen to words and be like, damn, man, he just said that. And then it was hard to really hear what they said because it's, you know, all the effects on their voices and auto-tune and blah, blah, blah. So it's hard to really make it a lyrical thing. So now it's more like the beat and the hook.
The difference between other R&B groups and Jodeci was that Jodeci kind of, like, embodied, like they had that hip-hop style, like, even, like, your fashion. Like, you had the hip-hop style and with the smooth R&B, like, you were multi-diverse.
Right. I mean, like, you know, like, to me, we made it a conscious effort to not feel like we were untouchable artists. We wanted to be cool, like regular dudes on the street. We dressing like this. We wear jeans like you. We wear, you know, hoodies. We wear, like, the army jacket. You know, we sag our pants, you know. We got a jewelry like the drug dealers on the corner. You know, we wanted to appeal to everybody that didn't feel like, oh, they untouchable. We can't, you know, whatever with them. You know, we're just, like, we just the regular niggas in the street. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
That's just what we wanted to come across as. But we sung love songs. We sung songs that make you want to, you know, to feel good. It's, you know, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Now, who are your some of your favorite R&B artists and hip hop artists from back in the day, from the 90s, your generation?
Let's see. I mean, to me, to be honest, man, I ain't gonna lie. It was just us. It was us. It was us mm-hmm. against everybody. It was more like a sport, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we felt like, you know, it's kind of like a boxing. Not to sound cocky, like, it was like, you know, we was like the Floyd Mayweather of the 90s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We ain't going to get beat. You put out a song, but we know we better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put out this record, you got, like, a little singer, but we got a record. You know, that's just how we felt. Not taking that away from anybody. So, I mean, like, Silk and H-Town, I'm all good friends with all these, but it's like, when we were in the studio, it was, I mean, the gloves was off. It wasn't like, hey, man, that's going to make a record look outshine nobody. No, we're going to the studio and we're going to crush everybody. That's how we felt. And, you know, we were the Mike Tyson of the 90s, period.
I agree.
You know, and that's the way we looked at it. And we're going to help. We're going to keep this title. We ain't going to just hand it to nobody. You want this title, come take it. You want to be the baddest, the bad boys, or the baddest in R&B, come take the title if you can.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they came and took that title.
I mean, but, you know, and it's not saying that I'm taking it away from anybody else.
No, not at all.
And I just felt like that, to me, there wasn't anybody else. There wasn't anybody else. I mean, I like certain songs by certain artists, but to me, if you want to actually be the baddest R&B group of all time, I'm going to say Jodeci. And I'm sure anybody in any other group will say the same thing about their group. So that was just how I felt about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting back to music coming soon. Could we expect this sooner than later, within a year or two, or?
You can expect something this year.
This year, wow. Because I knew Casey was, and JoJo, they're working on some music too. I don't know if that's their solo albums, or if the Casey and JoJo thing, or if it's Jodeci in general. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, it's not Jodeci. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah, not Jodeci. You know, like I said, I mean, I think that. Everybody individually got to explore and you know, find themselves and get it, you know, just do what they want to do and feel themselves and understand. Because when we come back together as a group and go in the studio and record a Jodeci record, it's a Jodeci record. It's not a KC project. It's not a Mr. Down project. It's not a JoJo project. It's not a Devontae Swing project. It's a Jodeci project.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get it out the system. Do what you're going to do. And, you know, and we all wish success on each and every one of us. So it's like, you know, man, I hope you do this. I'll come on stage and jump on stage and blah, blah, blah. We do a Jodeci little record or blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just how we do.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like everybody needs to explore what they feel and get their creative, you know, energy out there individually. You have to do that sometimes in the group. You know, you have to.
Mm. So. I agree. Now, yeah. Being a producer, what were your favorite songs that you produced for the group, your personal favorites?
I think Give Me All You Got, Won't Waste You, like I said, it's on our second album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I arranged the beat for Stage, and You and I on Throw My Lady, so, you know, so I was just making beats or whatever. But, you know, on the third album, Some More.
Mm-hmm.
Get On Up.
Definitely. That was your favorite off of the album, Get On Up.
Actually, it wasn't my favorite. It was one of my favorites.
One of your favorites.
But the one favorite one I produced, I think, was Some More.
Mm-hmm.
Just creatively how I'm more talking about a creative standpoint of how I made the record. So.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, I also cover sports on this show. Now, being from, you were born in Virginia, moved to North Carolina, moved to New York. What sports teams do you root for? Okay.
I think the Hornets were just coming to Charlotte when I was kind of on my way out, so I didn't really get into the Hornets. So now I'm an OKC fan. I like Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Paul George, so, yeah.
Okay. How about baseball or football or?
Not really a big baseball fan, but football, I've been a Dallas Cowboy, and I know I probably don't get all kind of hate.
No, I'm a Jet fan, so you're not going to get hate from me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not gonna get.
I'm big in the sports, basketball and football.
Mhm. That's interesting. I usually ask all my artists what their favorite teams are, but you're not gonna get any hate from me from the Cowboys. My hate's for the Patriots.
Okay. The Patriots, man. I mean, they're good. You know what I'm saying? They're good.
Mm. Now, I also wanted to ask you a question. Where do you see R&B heading in the future? Where do you think it's heading?
I think ultimately everything goes into 360. Everything goes round and round. You know, even from fashion to everything that's retro becomes new again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the style of R&B music that people, you know, want to hear the big harmonies, the love song. I think it'll it'll resurface and take center stage again.
I hope it does.
I mean, because, I mean, like, you look at music where it is now, music only stands still for a certain amount of time. Everybody jumps on the same wave. You know, once that wave is over, it revolves like a door, and it comes back to, you know, what we once knew, but it's maybe a new face that leads it or a new face that sparks it off. You know, but it comes back around. So I think that the big harmonies, the love songs, the blah, 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 I think it'll come back around. So, like I said, with retro becomes new again all the time.
I hope for this case that you're right, because I've been saying the same thing. I hope R&B makes that comeback and goes back to what it was from your generation, because that's my favorite. That's my favorite R&B. That's what I listen to.
Well, I don't think it'll go back to what it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be done new, but it'll be the same feeling is what I'm trying to say.
You'll yeah.
The same feeling of the feeling that you got back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll come back around. It won't be the actual same thing, but I think it'll be something new, but it'll give you that feeling where music felt good, you know, where it made you a certain kind of way. And I think that's what I mean by, you know, retro becomes new again.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what you're saying, and I definitely like to see where R&B is heading right now.
Yes.
And anything else that you want to add or say anything on this interview?
Well, just look out for new music from Mr. Dalvin, from Jody, from Casey, from JoJo, from Devontae, and, you know, everybody, you know, from the 90s, even, you know, great artists that you like and that you still like.
Mm.
You know, give them, encourage them to put out new music. You know, if you support whatever artist you support, like new or old, encourage them to put out new music.
Yeah.
Even I do it sometimes. Like, when I run the artist, like, you know, put something out new. Man, you dope, and blah, blah, blah. You know, try to encourage each other. And fans, you know, that goes a long way, just to hear one or two encouraging words, you know, from fans to put out something new. I'm waiting. That encourages you to go. And as long as you know somebody's still listening and you still got an ear, you know, that's tuned into what you're doing and interested in what you're doing, it goes a long way, you know.
It does. And I'm looking forward to the new music that you have coming on out soon. And I want to thank you for calling into the show tonight. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And granting me this great interview, in which I learned a lot of stuff about you, Jodeci. And I definitely want to keep in touch. And if you're ever in area, if you want to stop by for an in-person interview, Queens, New York, we'd be more than happy to have you here.
I definitely keep in touch, and like I said, when I'm gonna drop something new, I'll definitely hit you up and, you know, get it to you. I'll shoot you an email and let you hear it first, and, you know, we'll go from there, man. I'm gonna vibe when I'm on the East Coast, and I'll reach out to you.
Yeah, no, if any case, like any scenario, I'll reach out to you as well, and if you want me to put the record on air here, I'll drop it right on air here. Absolutely. If you give me the go, I'll be more than willing to do that. Please, we need great music on the airways.
Absolutely.
Yep. Mr. Dalvin, thank you for calling in tonight. And,
thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, no doubt. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, that was Mr. Dalvin from one of the greatest R&B groups of all time, known as Jodeci. Hit after hit. Just ultimate classics by Jodeci. And I want you to be on the lookout for his upcoming music, Jodeci's upcoming music. Even a biopic is on the way. Stay tuned. His Instagram at Mr.Dalvin. Twitter, Mr. Dalvin. So that people can go check out his page and see what's coming soon. And whatever he's dropping, we will be having him on the show again. More than happy to. Great guy. Very humbled. Gave a really good interview tonight, which I learned a lot, and stuff I didn't learn about the group, especially that Forever My Lady part. I did not know that was the Jodeci interlude, because Forever My Lady, classic song, we could go on all day how great that song was. Up at 9:30 coming, we have 90s legend hip-hop MC from the Flip Mode Squad, Rampage, calling in on the phone lines to discuss his older album as well as his newer work, upcoming work, everything. The Flip Mode Squad contained Rampage, Busta Rhymes, and Rampage is also the cousin of Busta Rhymes. So when he calls in at 9:30, you know what it is. I'm going to close out with a break right now, playing Long Day off of Dalvin's first album, Metamorphic. And stay tuned, and we will be back on air. Stay tuned.
Why don't you come over? I got something for you.
Since you've been a long day, I wanna make you feel better tonight. So come on over, wanna make you feel good tonight. Because you deserve it.
You know what's funny? It's like the girl that you really least expect to end up with.